Hello, welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives. I am very happy to introduce, as our guest tonight, the multi-talented Gloria Loring. She is a singer, songwriter, actress, and author, best known for her number one pop hit, Friends and Lovers, as well as her 7 years at Liz Chandler on Days of Our Lives, from 1980 to 1986. She is also the co-writer and voice of the TV theme song, The Facts of Life. She's the author of 4 books on living with diabetes, and her fundraising projects have raised more than $1 million for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Also, she recently discovered that she is smarter than a fifth grader by winning $25,000 for diabetes research. She is a certified yoga instructor with 20 years of study in Hatha Yoga and yoga philosophy. As a keynote speaker, she has shared this wisdom to help others reduce stress and manage chronic illness. Currently, Gloria is developing a stage show for Las Vegas called TV Tunes, a celebration of television's best theme songs. She is also completing a new book titled Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. We'll be opening up the interview for callers about 20 minutes into the show. If you have a question for Gloria, please call at 914-338-1239. You may also call using Skype. So, Gloria, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So we have a little bit of a soap opera drama going on right here. So why don't you tell us all about it?
Well, hopefully it won't be drawn out for more than a couple of hours. We don't want it to have several days worth of episodes. We have this interview all arranged, and just an hour ago or so, I got a call that my daughter-in-law Paula, my dear Robin, my R&B rock star son's wife, who's expecting their first child. She is going into labor early, about 6 weeks early. So I am actually recovering from a little foot thing that I had, and I've got a boot on my foot, and I was supposed to be sitting with my foot up. But I am in the car as we speak, driving to Los Angeles to meet them. They're already at the hospital. And hopefully the baby will be born very soon. And so we're on the cell phone. So if the reception is not perfect, I know you will give me that small allowance. And also at some point, probably in the next 5 minutes or so, I will lose my cell phone connection for about 6 seconds. And I've given Lori permission to say really nice things about me while I am off the air. And then then I will be back on the air with you. I'll call back just as soon as I can get my cell back working, because this way I drive in on the 210. Anyway, here I am. Hello, everybody. Hello, Lori.
Hello. Okay, well, that being said, tell us, you know, the news is out that you are in the middle of recording a new CD with some new Burt Bacharach and Desmond Child songs. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, you know, in the last number of years, I've recorded, 4 or 5 CDs and had such great response to them. They're on my website. And
hello? We may have already lost Gloria again. I know we did, because her phone number is no longer on the switchboard. So, like I said, this is kind of an exciting show. I know Gloria Loring, you can just Google her and you can come up with her website, and it does have a lot of fabulous CDs and information about Gloria that you can easily access. And I do have a caller on the I think she's back. Hold on 1 second.
What happened?
Hello,
anyway,
are you back?
I am back. All right, that didn't take too long. Anyway, a playlist, I put together all these favorite songs of mine, and I thought, you know what, I've done these 4 CDs, they've been my project, that's the end of it for me. I'm not going to think about recording anymore unless somebody contacts me, because I did them through my own record company. You know, they've all been self-done. And recently I was thinking, God, you know, I just want more reasons to sing. And within a couple of weeks or less, I got an email from a fellow named Ted Perlman, and he's worked with tons and tons of people, as a musician, as a record producer. And he said, I have always loved you. You're one of, I saw you sing live, yada, yada, just a big fan. And I would love to do something with you. So we got together and we had a great session of listening to songs. And my two favorite songs are that of the maybe 30 that he collected is a beautiful new Burt Bacharach and Tony O'Kay. Tony O'Kay was the co-writer on that wonderful song Love Is. It was the 90210 theme song from the 90s. Love breaks your heart. Love aches for every one of us. Anyway, so he and Burt wrote this gorgeous song called Love Is the Answer. And then Desmond Child, who's very, I mean, he's an amazing writer, and he wrote a song called The Best of Me that made me cry the first time I started to sing along. So actually, I was planning on coming into L.A. tomorrow to start work with Ted on the tracks and just start playing with the songs and, you know, getting a sense of where they're going and all. But now I'm coming in today.
Well, so the songs are sort of mostly like ballads, like what you usually.
No. The best of me is a somewhat up tempo, medium tempo. It's the kind of song that Martina McBride might do, or Faithhill maybe. But it's got a wonderful kind of rock pop tempo to it. Love Is the Answer is a much more a mood piece, the kind of piece that you might hear Kenny G playing soprano sax on. It's a really beautiful piece. So they're a little different, but I'm excited about them. I really love them. And then we're going to re-record a song that Robin, my son, and I wrote a number of years ago called Barely Breathing. And because in going for a new record deal, you know, the record company wants to know that you are also a writer and they want to hear something current. So we're going to take, and it'll be good that I wrote something with Robin and, you know, all of that political stuff. So.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do three songs all together. So that's fun. It's wonderful. I'm happy.
Well, I think we're all looking forward to hearing it. And you also have another exciting thing going on. You just wrote another book.
I did. I actually, this is a book that I started 12 years ago. I started it when I first moved to Lake Arrowhead up in the mountains. And I moved there because I just knew that I didn't want to continue just going out on auditions and being in a room with 40 other pretty ladies all my same age who had tons of acting credits between Broadway and Shakespeare in the Park. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make music and I wanted to write. And I started a book and it started really with me recounting my stories of coincidence. I realized that I had these really, what I feel, and other people have told me, are quite remarkable stories of coincidence, the way things coincided in a beneficial manner for me, even when it was difficult at first. And so I started to write this book, and I had a title, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous, which is Albert Einstein's saying. Someone mentioned that to me once when I told them the first story, the first chapter of the book, the story that's in there. And it really was about how I created the Days of Our Lives Celebrity Cookbook that raised over $1 million for diabetes research. And to make the long story short, I had come up with this idea to put together a cookbook, knowing that there were 10 million fans of Days of Our Lives. And a year later, I had all the recipes, all the autographs, all the pictures, everything collected for the book, all the printer lined up, everything lined up, but I had no money. I had done presentations, I had asked for donations, I'd asked for support, and I just couldn't get anybody to support the cookbook. And I came into Days of Our Lives on a Friday morning, put my bag on the chair, took out my scripts and makeup and other things that I wanted, And at the end of the day, I threw everything back in the bag after I finished my scene, picked the bag up off the chair, and underneath the bag was a little business card that had not been there in the morning. And it said, "Expect a miracle." And I thought, where did this come from? And I'm looking around. I had the dressing room to myself that day. Nobody was in there. I thought, what in the world? Who put this in here? And I was going to throw it in the trash. Well, this isn't mine. And it was like a little voice said to me, "Don't throw away a card that says expect a miracle." So I took the card and I threw it in my carry bag and I headed for the airport. And I was leaving that evening to fly to Houston for a Jack Benny Memorial Tennis Classic for diabetes research for the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. And the next day I played tennis. I got up and I sang a couple songs for the celebrity show. And when I came down off the stage, there was a man waiting for me there who looked familiar. It turned out it was a man named Ben Rogers. I had flown on his plane with Bob Hope to some charity thing years ago. We remade our acquaintance, and I could hear a little voice whispering in my head, "Tell him about the cookbook. Tell him about the cookbook." And I finally mentioned, you know, the cookbook and my son Brennan. He said, "I know I heard your son has diabetes and this and that." And that night he wound up giving me $10,000. To help underwrite the cookbook. Now, I needed $40,000 altogether, but when he said, "Oh, well, I'll give you $10,000 to help you," and he said, "Come on, let's go out in the lobby. I got friends here tonight, and this is Texas." And by the time, I got done with that evening, I had $17,500, and it was like the door opened. After a year of trying to find money to fund this cookbook, within 24 hours of finding that card, the money started to pour in, and within 2 weeks, I had the $40,000 I needed. We printed 50,000 copies of the first book. We went back. We printed another 50,000. I did a volume two in 1983. And those books, as I said, raised over $1 million for diabetes research. Now, meanwhile, here I've got this little card, Expect a Miracle, that just appeared seemingly from nowhere 24 hours before somebody gives me this money. And it started me thinking a little bit. At very least, I was telling the story to people. I was saying, I had the most amazing coincidence. And I'd tell the story about Expect a Miracle. And then I usually said something like, "Isn't that weird?" Because, you see, I didn't have any understanding of how that could have happened or why that happened, why those things come into our lives, how we attract them, what the mechanisms are. And then at one point in telling the story, this friend of mine, acquaintance of mine, I don't even remember who it was at the time, we were on the phone, said, "Oh, well, sure, that's because coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous." And I said, wait a minute, tell me that again. And he said, "Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous." Now, you know how we hear lots of cute, pithy little sayings during our lives. That saying immediately resonated for me. I knew I wanted to remember it. It was just the thing I needed to hear. And so whenever I would tell the story, Expect a Miracle, after that, I would say, "And you know, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous." And even though I didn't truly have a basis from which to understand it, I liked how I felt when I said it. I felt smart. I felt like maybe I knew something. But a few years after that, I began a course of study that helped me give a context within which to hold this idea of coincidence and God being linked. And from there, a series of extraordinary coincidences happened between my time when I was on Days of Our Lives and about 1993-94. It was as if within those 12, 13 years, the door opened and this amazing flowering happened for me, like the thousand-petaled lotus. Every time I turned around, every few months or 6 months or whatever, it was like another layer of my life opened up. And so the story, the book is autobiographical. It is certainly about my journey of spirit, my journey as a person, an emotional, psychological being. And there are fun stories in there about Days of Our Lives. It is also an informational, educational, it has those asides. It has chapters where there's one chapter called The Uses of Coincidence. How to understand, all through the book I talk about what coincidence does and how it operates. And then there's one particular chapter how I give specific information how to use coincidence when something happens to us that is difficult, as an example, a coinciding of events. How can we use it to, what is it, why did it come, perhaps? What does it mean? What does it have to tell us? And how can we resolve it for ourselves? So at the same time I'm sharing my personal stories, I am giving a lot of information and perspective that could be helpful to someone else if they were, it's interesting reading, period, because I love people's stories. I've always been attracted to human, what I call human interest stories. But in addition to that, there's something for the people who read it, and I'm really excited about it, Lori. This is something that's been a long time coming, and I think I put the book aside for so long because I didn't entirely trust that I had, I don't want to say the right, that my voice in these matters carried enough weight. Certainly I don't have, PhD after my name, but believe me, the amount of studying I do and have done and continue to do, I could have a PhD after my name. and maybe this book is my PhD. What is it? Your treatise or your whatever you're supposed to write as your I've forgotten what that word is.
Yeah, I forget the word, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, when you have a master's or a PhD, you write a document that you delve in depth into something. And of course, this is not as purely scientific with tons of footnotes. But I think one of the things that's important for us is, we rely, many of us, and I certainly did, rely so heavily on the opinion of others or the experience of others. And there comes a time in our process of growing when it's a great idea to start trusting our own experience, to start asking ourselves, to start listening to ourselves. What does this mean for me? I was one of those people who, when something happened, I would go to others and say, now, what do you think this means? And gradually along the way, and the tools I share in the book, is I have ways now of me figuring out what this means. Doesn't mean I never seek solace, comfort, or advice or perspective from others. But it means I do now, I have come to trust my own experience and my own way of knowing. And I think that's a really important thing. I think especially for women, and by and large the greatest audience for Days of Our Lives and these kinds of books is audience of women. Women are more willing to explore the emotional and psychological ramifications of their lives and inner techniques of their lives. And sooner or later, we want to become comfortable with ourselves. We want to feel grounded and certain that what we're doing, that we have a way to be true to ourselves, to be in harmony with ourselves. And that's really what this book is about. That's a lot, I know.
Well, no, it sounds like it's going to be fascinating to read, and I'm sure you have a lot of experience, and people will learn from what you have to say from that. I'm really looking forward to reading it. So you also have one other thing. You've got a lot of things going on here. The TV Tunes concert show that you did last year in California.
Yes,
and you're going to bring it to Las Vegas?
Yes, we are working with one of the legendary deal makers in Las Vegas, and very excited about the show. Let me just see, who is that? Oh, it's Sherry. I'm not going to get that right now. Somebody's calling on this line. And he is very excited about the show, and we're looking forward to it finding a home sometime soon. I hope. It's a great celebration. It's funny. It's fun. It's touching. It's nostalgic. I mean, certainly we have a little soap opera segment where we cover some of the best songs to come out of the soaps. Think of Laura and Baby Come to Me that Patty Austin did with James Ingram, I believe. And Friends and Lovers.
Of course.
And as for one of the people who co-wrote Facts of Life, and I also was part of the Different Strokes, it's very exciting to have come up with this idea. Actually, it was the brainchild of my manager and creative partner, Sherry Ingram. And she's just got a great mind, and we're excited. We put together a fabulous 90-minute show, and we just keep your fingers crossed. So we're working it. We're getting it ready. We've expanded the show from what we did. By the way, for anybody who's listening who'd like to see some of the show, we have a 5-minute, what they call sizzle reel, on YouTube. If you go in and you write Gloria Loring TV Tunes, and that's T-U-N-E-Z, we wanted to make it playful. So Gloria Loring TV Tunes, you will find a 5-minute sample video on YouTube called Gloria Loring TV Tunes Sizzle Reel, and that'll show you something about the show. It was just a spectacular night. We had standing room only, and people just absolutely loved it. We're hoping to find a home sometime soon within this next year in Vegas. We've expanded the show. The first show we did had 9 of us in the cast, and now we have doubled that to a cast of 18 with dancers, some additional singers, some horn players. So it is going to be a full-out Vegas production show. What a great thing to have that, to go and just sit down somewhere, as it's called when you sit down, the artist in residence, the way Celine Dion did or whatever, and take a great show, a production show into Vegas and be there for maybe 3-4 years. And just really, really hone the show day after day, week after week, and get to see so many of the folks who we've known each other through the years. And I always love when I'm somewhere and people come up and say, oh, I remember I saw you in New York, and now here we are in Poughkeepsie, and, whatever. So it's fun to see people again.
Well, I was just wondering, since we brought up Friends and Lovers, what was it about that song? I remember when they originally played it on Days, they played it for a little bit before you decided to sort of take that song under your wing and make a single of it. What was it about that song that really grabbed you?
Well, what happened was, actually, I don't normally tell this story, but somebody else who wanted to be a singer on the show sang it once. And it was not the most well-advised career move for that particular person. And I had been talking to Beth Milstein. This actually, the story is in the book. Who was the associate producer on the show, or one of the co-producers or something like that on the show. And I said to her, I was really having a bit of a pity party, and I was saying, now that everybody thinks of me as a soap opera actress, I'm never going to have a hit record because I can't get a record company interested. And they say, oh, well, she's an actress, she's not a singer. And, of course, when I was a singer, they said, oh, well, she's a singer, she's not an actress. So my agent wouldn't send me out on acting calls. I mean, this whole is nonsense. Anyway, and Beth said, well, but wait a minute. If you could have a hit record, how could it happen? And I said, well, we have 10 million daily viewers. If I found a song that was fabulous, and I started singing it on the show, maybe the fans would like it enough and we'd get enough response with mail and whatever that the record company would say, well, wait a minute, with 10 million fans, maybe we could sell some records here. Well, that very night, Beth went to dinner with some of the other staff members, and they were talking about this song that had been sung unsuccessfully, but how much they liked the song. So the very next morning, I was also in that day, And Beth called me in my dressing room. I went up to her office, and she said, remember we were talking about finding a song? She said, I think I may have found you one that was done on the show once. And I listened to the song, and it got through the very first chorus. So I'll be your friend, and I'll be your lover. Just the first chorus. I turned the tape recorder off, and I said, Beth, that is a hit song if I've ever heard one. And that was it. And I said, I want to sing this song. I had a song I was supposed to sing the next week. And I sang it. And the writers really liked it. And, you know, they decided they wanted it to be Shane and Kimberly's theme song. So I started singing it occasionally. Then I found out about Carl Anderson because the song had originally been a duet. And Carl said, we got to record this. So Carl and I went into the studio. The writer, we sent a copy of what we recorded to the writers. They loved the idea of having a storyline. So it all kind of dovetailed. I kept doing what I liked to do or what I was going to do with the song, and the writers kept inspiring the writers. So then we had Carl come on the show and pretend that Liz was recording the song with him. And it all just blossomed and blossomed. And we had a memo from NBC Daytime saying that Friends and Lovers had elicited more response from the daytime fans than any song in the history of NBC television. And with that, we went out to try to get a record deal to get this song recorded. And it was turned down by every major record company. Every place we went. Oh, well, she's a soap opera actress. Oh, we're not doing duets. Oh, it's a ballad. Oh, it's a waltz. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. You know, everybody turned it down. And finally, Beth, God bless her, took the song to her cousin, who was working at a very small label associated with Carl's record company, Epic, called Carrere Records. And the guy there, the French guy, loved it. He went in, he added some production elements, and then we thought, great, the record will be out in a couple months. Now, this was 1985. The record wasn't released until 86 in May. And it shot to the charts within about 8 weeks. It was at number two and number one all over the country. Mm. So it took a long time. But what happened, and was one of the stories in the book, while it was taking a long time, I thought that was a bad thing. And, you know, there's my timing and there's, you could say, God's timing or the universe's timing. And what was happening the whole time that I thought that it was taking too long, the song was becoming more and more a part of people's lives because I continued to sing it on Days of Our Lives. During the many, many months that it was not released as a record. And eventually, it went to number one. It didn't quite sell a million copies. I didn't get my gold record, but it did sell a lot. It sold over 800,000 singles, and that was very exciting. It was an absolutely thrilling time, and I got my hit record.
Yay!
And it came, And it came about because somebody said, well, how could that happen? And that is also in the book, this idea of imagining for yourself. And, you know, we've all heard about The Secret. And imagining for yourself how things might work out in a beneficial manner. And then what you do is you set out to find the ways to help make that happen. But, again, it's up to a lot more forces than just your individual power. But at least you start out and you pursue your dream. And it may take you somewhere else. You may find that that was the right dream for you. But for me and the hit record, it all worked out.
Well, it's certainly so many people still love that song. I think, you know, I watched the show during those years, and it was just a perfect fit, both for the storyline and for your voice. And I was so thrilled when it did become such a big hit, when I could go, you know, to the supermarket and hear your voice blaring over the stereo. And
I know, we
it was
still hear it. I still get emails from friends and relatives who say, oh, I was just here, I was at Target or something, and your song was on, you know.
That was great. Well, we do have a few callers,
it.
So let me bring
some
of the callers online.
Okay.
Let me just hold on and see. The 586 area code.
Oh, that could be me.
That's you. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Miss Loring. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Congratulations on your grandchild about to enter this world.
I know. Well, this is the second one. We have a little one who's almost two. His name is Tyler, and he does love his Nana.
Yes, I am sure. I have been a fan forever. I've watched the show forever, Days of Our Lives. You were the first soap opera star or daytime actress I ever ran into in Hollywood in 1983. I was a tourist at the Grammys, standing outside taking pictures in 1983, and you walked by me, and you looked fabulous. I had a great picture of you, and you were, oh, man, you were drop-dead gorgeous in a beautiful mink coat, and you looked every bit the Hollywood star, you know. There was no doubt.
Oh, well, honey, I was working it, let me tell you.
You did a great job. I was just aghast. I couldn't breathe for about a minute. So,
bless your heart.
I was also a manager at a record store at the time, and I worked for a record chain here in Detroit area for 7 years. My boss had been the manager of the Corvettes record store, E.J. Corvettes, in Manhattan for years. It was the biggest record store department in the world at the time, and he knew of you. And I said, one day she's going to have a big hit. He was working with me in Detroit. He was my boss. I said, this lady, Gloria Loring, you just watched, she's going to have a big hit. And I said that right after I'd been back from the Grammys. And he said, no way. I said, oh, yeah, you watch. Well, 2 years later, or thereabouts, when that song came out, he just shook his head at me. He said, how did you call that one? And I said, I just knew. one of my questions is, being I love music and everything, I thought that if you ever did a duet or hooked up with Bonnie Pointer, I don't know if you know of her or not.
Well, of course. The Pointer Sisters.
Yeah, the Pointer Sisters. If you've met her out in Hollywood, I'm sure you've run into everybody. I thought at the time, if you two ever collaborated on an album, your styles, your vocal styles would complement each other, and you would make a killer album. I don't know. It's just, Pardon?
You never know.
She had a few songs. I'm somewhat of a fan of hers, but I actually am more of a fan of you. I just happen to think that, you know, it would have been a good fit to collaborate on something. Because I'm sure out there, you creative types, you love to work on this and that together and see what clicks.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, and I was a big Liz and Neil fan, let me tell you. The prison wedding, all that stuff.
Oh, God.
And I remember
When I do live performances at, you know, concerts, et cetera, I will always include a little talk about being on Days of Our Lives. And I say, you know, I say people ask me why I left, because I was, you know, I was doing so well. The character was very popular. And I say, I finally had to leave because they shot me every 2 years, whether I needed it or not.
I was just going to bring that up. I remember that quote. I read it, I think, in one of the Digest magazines. I remember that quote.
It's when they shot me the second time and they shot me in the throat, I thought, I am so bored with this. I want to get out of here. And also, that was about the time we were supposed to pretend that Eugene was invisible.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what? I can't. I just can't. I can't do this anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, this has been a big thrill, and I'll be more than happy to yield to a few other people.
We've got about four people in line, so we gotta.
I'll get going because I'm sure she's getting close to the hospital.
Yeah, that too.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Rose.
All right, thank Bye-bye. You. That's sweet.
Let's see.
That's great. Now, you said we had somebody else?
Yeah, we have a line, actually, all of a sudden. Everyone has decided to jump in line here.
My goodness.
814 area code.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi, this is Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann. Hi.
Hello. It's so exciting to have you here with us. And congrats
thank you.
Yes, congrats on the grandbaby. I wanted to say that
first. I know.
And just listening to you talk about your book got me all excited and of your story, so I'll have to make sure I get out and get your book because it sounds very interesting.
I know. Well, I'm debating whether to turn it into an ebook downloadable first and just go ahead and get it out to people and then go for a publisher. I've got to kind of find out how that all works now. Because is very different than my diabetes books. You know, the diabetes imprint books that would handle, or publishers that would handle a diabetes book wouldn't be handling a book like this necessarily. So it's like starting over again in a way.
Yeah.
But thank you for that interest.
Oh, sure. And speaking of your involvement with the juvenile diabetes and your personal involvement with your son, when they had this storyline, I'm pretty sure with Liz's daughter Noelle, she also had diabetes.
Yes.
Was that your idea, or did they come to you?
No, that was the writer's idea, actually.
That was the
writer? And I was getting, and it probably came through Beth. Beth was a co-producer, and, of course, she was a very dear friend. We talked all the time, and I probably had confided in her that I was getting and, by the way, the writers are always on the lookout for good storylines that the fans might be interested in, and you know, emotional ones that will touch people's hearts. I was getting a lot of letters once Brennan was diagnosed because, I let people know, and well, Brennan was diagnosed a year before I got on the show, and once I started doing PR for the show, there were a lot of things about Gloria Loring, and then, of course, the celebrity cookbook, Days of Our Lives celebrity cookbook, raising money for diabetes research, and I would get a lot of letters from people saying, or kids saying, my grandma has diabetes, you know, what should I tell her, or I get a letter of, my daughter, I want to have a birthday party. She was just diagnosed for diabetes. Do you have a recipe for a cake I can fix for her that will be all right? And I'm sure I confided these letters in Beth. I told her about them. And she and the writers may have thought, you know, this is really interesting for the fans. Maybe we can do some good here with Gloria's personal knowledge of this and emotional connection. Good for the show, good for the fans, where people will get some good information about diabetes. And certainly we did accomplish that. A lot of people didn't realize what it was like to live with it, what it was like to have a child with it, what it was like to manage it, how to recognize the symptoms. And we were able to do a lot of good, I think, during that time.
Oh, I think so, too, and I enjoyed that part on the show. Like, I know when she had the benefit in that, it also included the whole cast, you know, and that was all nice to see, too, she did that.
Yes.
And your Friends and Lovers song, every time I hear that, it takes me back, and I can remember Days and Kim and Shane, and I still enjoy listening to it.
Oh, thank you. I do, too. I still enjoy singing it. Do you know that? And it's so sweet. Even if I'm somewhere where there is an older audience, you know, older than me even, I find that people know it. For all these years, they've been hearing it, and the whole audience sings along, and it's so sweet to hear all those voices. It makes me very happy.
Oh, yeah, I still remember the words, yeah.
Yes.
Well, yes. Okay, well, it was such a pleasure talking to you. I'll let some other callers get on here, so.
All right. Thank you so much,
Marianne.
Okay.
Okay, next call.
All right.
Let's see. 314 area code.
Hi, Diva.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I would like to tell you, I watched you on Days when I was... Are you there? I'm sorry.
Oh, here I am.
Okay. I watched you on Days when I was very young with my mother, and she loved you. And it was so special for me now to go and revisit some of the scenes that I saw when I was younger, being older, you know, from the perspective of my eyes now, and, you know, after being married for a certain number of years. And it's just been a pleasure to go back and see the songs that I saw when I was younger that I didn't quite understand, you know, and connect to them now. And another kind of strange thing that happened was I went to your website and I saw there was a picture of you with an actress, not an actress, a singer, called Lola Falana that you did a song with.
Yes, Lola. I didn't. So I didn't do a website. I mean, I didn't do a song with her. You said
okay.
Website. So Lola Falana and I went around the world on the Bob Hope tour, and
oh,
went
okay.
to Vietnam many years ago. But okay, we sang with other people in the show, the Bob Hope show, but we didn't ever record together. But yes, Lola was a terrific girl. I liked her a lot.
Well, what was strange about that for me, because I was looking up, for you, because I had memories of my mother, and I honestly didn't know who Lola Falana was. And I saw that picture, and I saw that, and it just was really odd, because that was the nickname my mother had for me as a child. When I was 3 and 4, she would call me Lola Falana when I would be, like, around dancing. And I didn't know. I just thought that was something she made up. So I got to find out more and read about the person. And that was really, really an interesting find, you know, that kind
of took
me there.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, you're my, because Lola was very sexy and vivacious.
Really? Okay.
Had an enormous amount of energy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was just very playful in her dancing. So I'm sure, and very, but just very outgoing. So I'm sure that your mother saw those qualities in you, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, look at little Miss Lola Falana.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought it was something she made up. I just say, but I mean, but she loved you, and that's kind of when the reason I went into the website, because I remember sharing the songs with her. And when I hear those songs, it just brings me back to my living room with her. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that and all the work you've done over the years.
My pleasure. It's so nice to talk with you.
It was you too, Gloria. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you
thank
for calling.
You.
Thank
you. Okay. Hi, 724 area code.
Hi, this is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Hi. I'm actually calling at work, so I might have to hang up in any minute.
Oh. Okay.
So I was going to ask Gloria, I was a big Liz and Neil fan, and I remember watching some clips from YouTube when Liz and Tony were married. And was it controversial back then, the marital rape with Tony and Liz? Because I know that was done later on Days, and it seemed to be a bit of a controversy of whether or not a husband could rape a wife. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that storyline.
Hello? I think we may have lost Gloria. I see her area code just disappeared. She may have gone under a tunnel or something.
She's driving and talking then, huh?
Yeah. Well, here she is. Let me get her back on.
Back again.
Hello.
Sorry.
We lost you for a second, but you're back.
All right. I'm back. So let's start again. Sorry.
Okay. I was a big Liz and Neil fan, and I remember seeing some clips on YouTube when Liz was married to Tony, and they had that marital rape storyline when Tony raped Liz. And
yeah.
I was wondering back then, was that controversial? Because I know some people have this attitude that a husband can't rape his wife. And
I don't know. You know, for some people, that may be controversial. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember it was traumatic for me. Are you there? Did I lose you guys again?
Well, I'm here, but hello? Oh, I think we lost Gloria. Oh, no. Oh, I guess she'll call back again. I lost both Carrie and Gloria in one fell swoop. That takes talent. Okay, well, hopefully Gloria will call back in just a second. Here's Gloria again.
Hi, I'm
Carrie. Hi, we're back again. Yeah. I think
somebody's trying
Carrie.
To call me. I think it's interrupting the
Oh, that's probably what
That's all right. It's not somebody I have. If it was my son, I would say I have to get off the line, but it's not. So I'll call back as soon as we finish. As far as that storyline, I don't know if it was controversial. I don't remember hearing anything about it. Somebody being violent with somebody else, I don't care where it is, it's wrong. Just because you sign a civil or religious agreement doesn't ever give anyone the right to harm someone else. And if somebody says no, no is no. It's like that T-shirt they used to have. What don't you understand about no? So I don't remember. I don't remember hearing anything back about it. I don't think they made a big point of it as far as the show was concerned. It was just something that happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just see. We actually lost both you and Carrie at the same time.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
But she can play back. I do have another number popped up. It might be her again.
Okay, let's try that. Let's see if that's her.
724.
Hi, it's me.
Did you hear I just answered your question?
Yeah, I heard the end of it, that it really wasn't controversial then. It didn't cause any type of PR or press or anything like that.
No, I mean, the bottom line was he was violent with her, and that's inappropriate anywhere, anytime, between any two people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I don't remember there being anything beyond that. But it was a storyline issue.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Carrie. Okay. We do have another caller. Let's take this person.
Okay.
I'm kind of jumping around the switchboard now. 718 caller.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Matthew.
Hi, can
Matthew.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Hi, Gloria.
Yes, you're sounding a little distant, so just speak up as much as you can.
Oh,
there you go, much better.
Okay, sorry, it must have been the way I was holding the phone.
Okay.
I don't want to monopolize you, but I want to ask you both a fun thing and a serious thing, if I can.
Okay.
Starting with serious, I just really, really want to thank you so much for all the work you've been doing for the diabetes. This was a disease that killed my dad. And when my little girl was born, my wife had gestational diabetes, so it's been a tremendous presence in our lives, and I really appreciate everything that you have done and are doing in that cause. And I actually had a thought that just occurred to me while listening to this interview was, I know, of course, music is your main squeeze, but as someone who's both an actress and an author, have you ever done or have you considered doing audiobooks? Because, of course, diabetes, you know, takes such a toll on the eyesight. And an actor I knew once who did audiobooks always said he loved doing it because people who couldn't read could read again.
Oh, that's a very nice idea. I haven't done that with my books. Usually they do audiobooks with books that are very highly successful, and mine have been just modestly so.
Gotcha.
So I'm sure there are some diabetes books on the market that have been turned into audiobooks, and that is a good idea because of that, absolutely.
Excellent. If approached for such a thing, either for one of your books or just to be the voice of another book, is that something you would consider doing?
Yes, I did do that one time, and I've even forgotten what that book was. I don't even remember what it was, but I...
But was it a good book?
I think so. It's a lot of work, and I wasn't as prepared to do it as I wasn't as well prepared as I think. I think I needed a little more seasoning in that arena, but I would know better how to do it now. So yes, it would be very enjoyable. I love that. I love telling stories.
Like so many things in the arts, it's never as easy as it looks, and that's part of the point.
Yes, there you go. Well, the whole point is to make it look easy, right?
Exactly, to make it look easy even when it's not, especially when it's not.
Yes, absolutely.
My fun question, if I may ask, I read a little capsule biography of you. I think it was on your website or some website where you were mentioned that you had actually sung at the Academy Awards on two separate occasions.
No, okay, that's a little different. I sang one time, but I sang two nominated songs.
Okay.
So that's
it's one night. But my memory's not what it was. What did you sing, and could you tell me something about the experience?
I can tell you a fun story. the day of the Oscars, I had Bob Hope was hosting. This was 1978. This was the 50th annual Academy Awards.
So this would have been the year of Annie Hall.
I believe so. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not telling you.
March of 78 for the movies that were made in the 1977 calendar year?
Yes, yes, 78
yeah, okay,
for the 77. Okay,
that
gosh, you
that
are.
That would have been the year that Annie Hall won, yeah.
Okay, and I sang the two Disney-nominated songs. One was Someone's Waiting for You, and, what was the other one? I'd have to, it's not in my head at the moment, but they would be Brave Little One. Someone's Waiting for You. Anyway, and then there was another one, another Disney song. They were both animated, songs for animated movies. And I had to stand at the top of 43 stairs and walk down with the microphone in my hand, never looking at the stairs, because you don't want to look down. I'm supposed to be singing. I'm singing the whole time I'm walking. So I can't look down at the stairs. And, of course, your great fear is I am going to fall. And you're on live around the world, and a billion people are watching you. And Jane Fonda and her is sitting in the front row, and Jack Lemmon and all these people. I mean, oh, my God. And I was doing very well all day. I was very calm. I went through my rehearsal. I counted. That's why I know there were 43 stairs. I knew exactly. I walked up and down those stairs many times. I felt very calm. And just as we came back from commercial, and I heard Bob Hope saying, the singer in the next two nominated songs from Walt Disney movies is a beautiful, rah, 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 rah. And all of a sudden, it was like my breath was sucked out of my body. My mind stopped, my brains, I went into absolute coma. And I'm standing there, and oh dear, there's a car coming. Oh, there they go.
Don't have a wreck, whatever you do.
No, please. I lost all sense of everything. I couldn't think. And the music started playing, and I couldn't think of my first words. I mean, it was the most terrifying thing I think I've just about ever been through. And I thought,
actor's nightmare.
Yeah, this is every person's nightmare, and I lived it. What happened was, I started to walk, and I thought I had one positive thought in the middle of it, and I thought, you know what, you haven't come this far to fall on your face now, just begin. And as the music started, I took the first two steps down the stairs. I had no idea what was going to come out of my mouth. I opened my mouth and I started to sing, and somehow the words were there, and I got through it. And if you look back now and you see that footage, which I think may be either on my website or it may be up on YouTube, I'm not sure. I mean, you'd never know that I was absolutely terrified, horrified, a complete wreck. I got through it, and only because I just put one foot in front of the other. There's a good life lesson. When you don't know what to do, just put one foot in front of the other, open your mouth, and see what comes out.
Everything people say about the terrifying pressure of performing at the Oscars is true.
I was very calm. I was thinking, boy, I'm doing really well. Okay, all right, we're going to get through this. It's going to be good. Going to have a good time. And then that Bob Hope intro started, and I felt like my brain fell on the floor.
Well, thank you. I shouldn't monopolize you anymore, but thank you so much, and congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you so much. I think we're almost out of time. Actually, we have about 5 more minutes.
We have 6 minutes.
Okay, great.
And we have 2 other callers. Let's
okay. All right. We'll give them a couple minutes each.
Okay. 724 area code, 724.
Okay.
Hello?
Well, that's the same area as Carrie.
Yeah. I was almost wondering if that was her again. I don't know.
Okay.
Then she hung up. Okay. Let's try. There's another one here. Let's see.
Okay.
909 area code.
Oh, that's right near where I live. Okay, who's that?
909?
Yeah. Who's on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Somebody on the line?
No one is answering. Okay.
Okay.
I was like looking at the... I was like, that's not your phone number, is it? No.
But it's not
okay.
My phone number. But yeah, 909 is in San Bernardino County. That's where I live. I live in Lake Arrowhead. That's our area code.
Okay, well.
Got disconnected. All right, well, we can wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up because we have no more callers at the moment, so it's a good time maybe to put an ending to it. Well,
okay,
thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I just want to encourage people to, if they want to stay in close touch, I mean, sure, you can do it through Facebook and that kind of stuff, but they can just send me an email, and I will put them on my personal email list. And once or twice a year when there's something exciting going on, then I can let them know when TV Tunes is up or when the book comes out, and they can email me, gloria@glorialoring.com. And my assistant, we put it all on a personal a series of emails and email lists. And when stuff happens, we let folks know.
Okay.
So, that
well,
sounds
we'll definitely
good.
Keep in touch and look forward for all the exciting stuff that's coming your way.
Thank you so much. So
thank
it's
you.
My pleasure. And you have fun and continue the good work, keeping the Days fans in touch with the folks they know.
Okay. Well, we're having a great time. Talking with everyone we can get and learning so much every time.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Gloria.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you another time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Well, that was great hearing from Gloria. Not really much more time to talk about anything else, so we have a little 3 more minutes, but rather than hearing me rambling to myself for 3 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and set the show off at an end now. I hope everyone enjoyed hearing Gloria Loring, and tune in next time for Diva of Days of Our Lives.